Let's turn for our Bible study to Matthew chapter 6. So we are looking at the next expression, the next request that the Lord is teaching us to pray. And so this is found in verse 11, so Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. And again, very, very familiar words. In fact, I'll start at the beginning just to lead us up to it. So verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And then the one that we're looking at this evening, "Give us this day our daily bread." And so here is a request that the Lord is instructing us to make. And in this case, it is explicitly for our own benefit, our provision. And, of course, some of the other requests had to do with our response to God, like when we're praying that His name would be hallowed. That really, again, is reminding us that if it's going to be hallowed, we have to do it. We have to treat it as holy, right? We have to regard Him as holy. And again, His kingdom come is a recognition of the kingdom work that is going on now, which we are to be active participants in, but also, of course, looking forward to that future return of the King. And then, of course, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." We are the participants in that one, right? Because we are really pretty much the only creatures that don't do His will, other than some of the angelic creatures, right? But, you know, dogs and horses and cats and cows, and I mean, they're, you know, I mean, I assume that they're somewhat affected by the curse of sin as well, but nonetheless, they don't have the same kind of will that we have, that the Lord has given us the liberty, I guess is the right word, to rebel. And so as we pray, "Your will be done," right? It's the King's will. It's His kingdom, and we're desiring His will to be done. And again, that requires a response out of us. So now with this request, we are asking God to do something for us, right? "Give us this day our daily bread." So let's sort of think through what is included in this request. So let's start at the end. What is bread? Food. Okay. So, and again, I think it's important. It's not limiting our asking literally to bread and bread alone, right? But it's using that term as a stand-in for food, certainly. And so it would involve this request for provision of food. And, of course, food is something that, in the general arrangement, we like to partake of how often? Yeah, three times a day, plus. Okay, but certainly daily, right? And so that's why, as we work our way back, it's our daily bread that we're asking for, right? So, because here is something that provides for our need. It is necessary for the sustaining of life. And generally speaking, it's necessary daily. And so that's what we're talking about, something that we need and something that we need every single day. All right? And so what's very interesting is that the first part of the request indicates that this request, the Lord is anticipating that it would be made how often? Daily, right? Give us this day our daily bread. Now, in the course of human history, and I mean, think in terms of God's people in particular, so not just, you know, the world at large, but think in terms of God's people. So there have been times in the course of human history and in various locations around the globe, and I expect that there are even some places today where this need is really a need on a daily basis. And so when they're asking for, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, it really is, I mean, so on the one end of the scale, right, you've got people, and that is truly, literally, their need today. And then it's going to be their need again tomorrow, right? And so if we think about it that way, it's like, yeah, of course, you would pray that every day, wouldn't you? Right, as a believer, you would pray, you would be looking to the Lord every single day, right, to give you your what you need, your provision. But when Jesus gives this as an example for us, he doesn't qualify it, right? He doesn't qualify it that, you know, if you're in really desperate straits, then after this manner pray ye, give us this day our daily bread. Okay, so let's think through this. So we get it when you're that desperate. What about when you're on the other end of the scale? And, I mean, you go look in your cupboard at home, open your refrigerator, open your pantry, your cupboards, whatever, and the deep freeze, and think, right, of the food that is available in your home. Or that if it's not in your home, oh, I don't have the whatever. And for Black Creekites, it's a little harder. But for us, 3-minute drive, 5-minute drive, and you're at Superstore and you can get whatever it is, right, for the most part. So the Lord is teaching us that we should be praying this way without qualification. Okay, so when I'm in dire straits or when I'm abounding, this is helpful praying. Again, praying is never for God's benefit. It's always for ours, right? So the Lord is wanting us to truly pray this way, even if we've got not just today's food, but next day's and whatever already in store, right? So why would that be beneficial for us, right? So think of us here in Canada, right, in 2022. And though, I mean, sometimes the stores have been, you know, out of this or that, or, you know, especially with COVID and then supply chain stuff and all of the other reasons and whatnot. But even at that, right, we're fairly well supplied, right? So why, assuming that I'm understanding Jesus correctly, that there's no qualification, we should pray this way. Give us this day our daily bread. What is the benefit for us in relative plenty for regularly praying with this pattern? Yes.
Very good and perfect. Food is a gift from God, and we are to remind ourselves of gracious provision.
Okay. All right. So there, it serves to remind us who gave us that food, right? And again, it's not that, you know, his hand reached down from heaven and there's your food, but know, he gave us the strength to work and to earn the money, and, you know, our society in general, he's given them the brains to figure out how to do supply chain, right? And make these things available for us. This is all from God's good hand, right? And so this serves certainly as a reminder of God's good provision. Okay. Any other ways that you think we can benefit spiritually by reminding ourselves in this fashion?
Well, that reminds me, like you said, that other people don't have what we have.
Okay. And again, our prayer might be directed for them as well, right? And particularly if we have some knowledge of a situation, right? We can pray specifically about that. So it reminds us of the needs of others. Any other thoughts as to the benefit?
Contentment, perhaps? Like, it, the food for this day, and we have so much food for many days, weeks.
Right.
And it just kind of, you can just get kind of used to overabundance.
Right. Okay. And so, you know, maybe cultivating, as you say, contentment or an ungrumbling spirit, which is contentment, right? But so instead of, oh no, broccoli again, or Brussels sprouts, or whatever, you know. Hugh's there cheering, yeah. No. So certainly, right? So to say, okay, this food that is before me today truly has come from God, right? And obviously various means have been used to get it to me, and whoever prepared it ultimately to place on the table, right? So there's cultivating a contentment, a thankfulness, right? One other thing that I was thinking of is the idea of, okay, so this all has come from his hand. When I'm reminding myself that he is giving me daily, my daily bread, there is perhaps some benefit in being reminded of the stewardship responsibility that we have, right? So as to not be wasteful, so as to not squander, right, or whatever. And so, you know, just that good stewardship, carefulness, waste not, want not, isn't in the Bible, but I think it's not a bad principle, right? And so I think there's that as well, that we're recognizing, okay, God is the one that has given me this, and I need to acknowledge my dependence on him. And I'm dependent on him every day, whether he's given me just as in, you know, just in time supply chain, right? Like George Mueller sometimes, you know, okay, let's sit down, children, and we're going to pray now. And you know, when they finish praying, there's a knock on the door, and just in time, the Lord has done it, right? Those are remarkable stories. So whether the Lord has provided it for us just in time, or whether he's given us the next however long, and it's there, it's still come from the Lord, right? And so when I'm reminding myself of his provision, his daily provision for my daily bread, then there should be a reminder to be a good steward of that, right? And to use it well and wisely. And it's interesting, you think of the story of the rich farmer that Jesus told. And his thought was, you know, now, you know, my soul, I've got much goods laid up for many years, I think is the statement. So, you know, he's going to tear down his barns and build greater, and he says to himself, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And the Lord's comment to him is, you fool, this day or this night your soul will be required of you. And then whose will these things be? And the lesson that is made is, or the point that is made is, a challenge to the person who is not rich toward God, right? And the idea, the implication is that in all of his abundance, in all of his excitement about the abundance, and all of his plans for laying up his abundance, it would appear that God was absent. Okay, so this then is a protection against that. This is perhaps part of what it means to be rich toward God, right? To be rich in our acknowledgement of our dependence, to be rich in our thanksgiving unto Him, right? To be rich in our stewardship unto Him, to put our stuff at His disposal, and maybe He doesn't want it all to be used for me. Right? Maybe there's someone else. I mean, maybe God provided that for me so that I can turn around and assist someone else. Right? Maybe. Okay. And so I think those are some of the things that sort of come into play, perhaps, as we acknowledge our dependence upon the Lord daily for the provision of food. And if we would pray this way, that would help us not to do what? Okay? It's very interesting to me, later in this chapter, notice verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. And another way to translate that is, don't be anxious for your life. What shall you eat? Or what shall you drink? Nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Right? Is not the life more than meat, the body than raiment? And then he gives the comparison of the birds and how God has provided for them, and the flowers and how God has provided for them. And then verse 30, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Right? So instead of being anxious, or what's another word for anxiety?
Worry.
Okay. So instead of being worried, pray. Right? God already knows that you have need of it, so you're not telling him anything, but what you're doing is you're adjusting your mind, right, to scriptural, biblical reality, right? He is your Father in heaven. He knows what you have need of. He is not limited in his ability to provide it, right? So instead of fretting and worrying and saying, oh no, talk to God, right? And so here's another benefit. You know, we're not here and we're here. You develop the practice of recognizing your dependence upon God, cultivating good stewardship and thankfulness, and using it well for the glory of God to minister to others and so on. If it ever comes to, right, a time when you're in more dire straits, you have prepared yourself well to look to the Lord, right? And so really, let us not take for granted the very, very ample provision that the Lord has given to us now. Let us not be guilty of forgetting him in all of this. Be rich toward God in your thoughts and your thankfulness and your acknowledgement of your dependence upon him. Right? Make God big in your mind, even as you're going to your deep freeze or whatever, right? Make it God that has provided. Lord, here we are, and again, you've given, thank you, right? You've given me today my daily bread. Thank you. And may the Lord use that. Right, so this example prayer, folks, really, I think the Lord wants all of his people, all the time, in whatever our circumstances, to recognize that he is the one that is provided. Other thing, is it only food that God cares about for his children? No. As we have other needs, I think the same principle applies, right? That, again, don't be anxious. You talk to God about it, right? And you just talk to him every day about it, right? And put it before him, right? And we do have other needs. And I think this same idea, this recognition of our dependence on God and bringing it before him on a daily basis, is God's example for us.